you, Kate. Let's just pray before I speak. Dear Lord, please open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that many parishes around the country are working on their neighbourhood plans as they plan for the future. Chiltern is certainly working on its plan, and I'm sure Harwell is too, or may well be ahead of Chiltern. There's an enormous amount of work to be done in these projects, assembling information about different aspects of life in the parish, gathering the views of parishioners, and developing policies, all in order to be able to prepare a document which gives our village's vision for the coming years. This isn't just about considering appropriateness or otherwise of new housing, but also making sure that we understand what we need in terms of infrastructure, community facilities, and green spaces. The project is causing us to think about who is our neighbour. But our neighbourhood extends much further than parish boundaries, and our neighbours are not only those who live near to us. Jesus challenged his listeners to consider who their neighbours were as he handled some questioning from a religious lawyer. This lawyer would have been an expert in the Jewish law, with particular expertise in the first five books of the Jewish scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books tell us of God's creation of the world, his love and care for his chosen people, and the spelling out of the laws which his people were to follow. God gave these laws to Moses in order that the chosen people put God first, and the first four commandments are concerned with people's relationship with God, and also their relationships with each other, that those relationships were healthy. The other six commandments are about relationships with each other. Many hundreds of other laws were added, often concerned with hygiene, safe and considerate community living, family relationships, and the care of the poor and needy. The laws were to be taught to each generation so that they would understand God's will for them. But how on earth were they to observe so many laws and not fall foul of God's will? Well, humanly speaking, it would be impossible to observe the law in one's own strength. But our reading from Deuteronomy this morning gives us a clue as to how this was to be accomplished. The people were to turn to God with all their heart and their soul. Putting God first and making that relationship a priority would lead to a desire to observe God's laws and live his way. Of course, God's people constantly strayed away from God when they put their own desires first and ignored God's will for them. They might have known the laws in their heads, but if their hearts were wrong, they were unable and unwilling to obey God. The lawyer who spoke to Jesus seemed to be well acquainted with God's law. He started by asking Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus pointed him back to the law and asked the lawyer what it said. The lawyer quickly quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 about loving God with our whole heart and soul, and from Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18 about loving your neighbour as yourself. Jesus had himself taught this summary of the law, and that's quoted in Mark chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 22. Jesus congratulated the lawyer on his answer and said, "Do this and you will live." But the lawyer wanted to score points and asked Jesus to define who his neighbour was. This led to one of the best known parables Jesus ever told, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho would have been well known to Jesus' listeners, who would have, and they would have avoided it because it was so dangerous. It wound downhill for about 17 miles, descending well over 3,000 feet between the two cities. The surrounding country and hills gave good cover for robbers who would attack a lone traveller and beat him up, as in the case of the victim in Jesus' parable. Having left the poor man for dead, the robbers ran away. On such a lonely road, would anyone pass by to help? Well, yes, two people passed by, but that's all they did. They were a priest and a Levite on their way back from busy service in Jerusalem to rest in Jericho. They might well have been alarmed at what they saw, especially if they thought the victim was dead, and afraid that they might themselves be attacked. They would also have been aware of the Levitical laws, which stated that they would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days if they touched a dead body, and therefore they would have been unable to serve in the temple. However, they were on their way back from Jerusalem, having served in the temple, so they wouldn't have been serving there for the next few days or weeks anyway. It seemed that fear of being attacked and an observation of temple laws and ceremony were their priority, rather than having a right attitude of heart towards God and their neighbour. But in Jesus' story, help did arrive in the shape of a Samaritan traveller, and Samaritans were the greatest enemies of the Jews. This man might have been a Samaritan by race, but Jews named anyone who they regarded as a heretic as a Samaritan. So it was generally a derogatory title for anyone they disliked or disagreed with. John's Gospel, chapter 8, records Jesus himself being called a Samaritan because his listeners thought he was a heretic. You can imagine that there was some tutting or grinding of teeth as Jesus continued with the story and told how the Samaritan set about helping the beaten man. He anointed his wounds, set him on his donkey, and therefore walked himself. He took him to an inn and cared for him himself, and then left plenty of money to cover the cost of further treatment. Jesus then asked the lawyer who of the three people acted as a neighbour to the victim. It was almost as if the lawyer couldn't bear to say, the Samaritan. He said, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus concluded by telling the lawyer, go and do likewise. So who are our neighbours? Yes, of course, they're the people who live next door or opposite us or in our street or in our community. But our neighbours are spread much more widely. Are there people we regard as Samaritans? People whom we regard as enemies, or as the sort of people with whom we shouldn't associate? Jesus' parable challenges us to love and help people of every background, even people who might have brought trouble on themselves as a result of foolishness or ignorance. Our love must be as wide as the love of God. And that love doesn't come from our own will or strength, but from God working through us by the power of his Holy Spirit and by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, who came to fulfill the law. Let's remind ourselves of the summary of the law by which we are called to live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Let's pray that our lives will demonstrate this love for God and our neighbour, whoever that neighbour might be. Amen.